Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace, celebrating 20 years of discipling others through Charis Bible College worldwide. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a teaching on Paul's secrets to happiness. And as I said earlier in the week, these really aren't secrets. They're written in the Scripture. He makes it abundantly clear why he was able to rejoice even from prison, even when he was facing execution. He made it clear, and yet they are hidden to most people. I mean, they're hidden in plain sight. This is just completely different than the way that most people think. So I've got a list of 20 things that I've pulled out of the book of Philippians. The first one came from Acts chapter 16. When Paul went to Philippi, it said that he knew for certain that God had called him to go there. He saw a man in a vision saying, come over and help us. So the very first thing that you have to do to really experience the true joy and happiness that God intends us to have is you have to be in the center of God's will. There is a joy, a peace, a contentment that goes along with that that you won't get being outside of God's will. You'll actually get a holy dissatisfaction, a dissatisfaction that comes from God because He's trying to move you away from where you are into something else. The second thing that we talked about is that Paul was into other people. And we used the first few verses of Philippians chapter 1 to show that he longed after these people. He praised God for them every time he prayed. He was rejoicing in their prosperity. He was in the midst of terrible situations himself, and yet he was experiencing joy because of the seed that had been sown in other people's lives, seeing the fruit that was coming. And I'm telling you, if you're going to experience the joy that God wants you to have, you've got to get out of yourself into other people. The third thing that we talked about, Paul tried to comfort these people who were concerned about him and how he was doing after 4 years of imprisonment. And Paul began to comfort them by saying, but the gospel is being promoted. There are people that are bolder to preach the gospel. There are people that are even mocking me, but yet they're telling the details about Christ and his death and resurrection. And because the gospel was being preached, he thought it was all worth it. Again, this is another major factor in why Paul was able to rejoice in terrible situations and many other people today aren't. And it's because Paul, it wasn't all about him. The gospel, the kingdom of God, people's lives being changed was more important to Paul than his own personal prosperity and success. And because of that, the gospel was increasing and Paul found joy and peace and happiness in that even though he was suffering. Boy, this is important. You got to get something bigger than yourself. And then we got down to verse 20. This is Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. And look at this. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. What a radical statement. Most people, they may put other people in some other cause ahead of themselves to a certain degree, but if it comes to, man, you're going to have to die in order to accomplish this goal, boy, most people right there, they just don't even entertain that. Everything is about their self-preservation, and if it was going to cost them their life, it doesn't matter what the benefit to anybody else or anything else is. It's all about them. Paul was saying that, man, he was confident that Christ was going to be magnified in his body, whether it was by life or by death. And then he makes this statement in verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul, it was all about Jesus. He was dead to himself, and Jesus and the kingdom of God was more important to him than himself. In verse 22, he says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, talking about prison. Yet what I shall choose, I want not, for I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, that I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Paul, here's another great secret. This is the fourth thing that we've talked about. Paul was dead to himself. For him to live was Christ. It wasn't about him. It wasn't self-preservation, self-promotion. It was all about Christ. For him to live was Christ, and to die was even better. There's not very many people that think this way. That's the reason that not very many people are rejoicing amongst our problems today. And I tell you, our problems are infinitesimal compared to the things that Paul was going through. Compared to the insult, the humiliation, the things that were done to Paul, and yet he was able to rejoice. Matter of fact, Paul said this over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, talking about all of his problems. Matter of fact, let me just read some of this, because this is just, I mean, this is amazing. This is so contrary to the way most people are thinking today. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Boy, the things that he's just said about it, they're perplexed, they're troubled on every side, they're forsaken, they're bearing about in their body the dying of the Lord Jesus, and on and on. He just talks about these terrible things, and yet he's victorious in it all. And then he sums it up in verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." He says light affliction. He just mentioned being forsaken, troubled, having all of these things. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he expounds on these light afflictions. That's being shipwrecked. That's being beaten with rods. That's being beaten with whips. That's being imprisoned. That's being defamed. That's being rejected. A night and a day he had spent in the deep. That's not even recorded in Scripture. And yet somehow he was somehow or another stranded out on the ocean for a night and a day. He had had all of these terrible things happen. He says, it's just a light affliction. Do you know there's many of you watching this program that you talk about your heavy burden and how terrible everything is, and if somebody was to ask you, how are you doing, you make them sorry that they ask. Because you just are, nobody knows the trouble I feel. You just are having it worse than anybody. Here's Paul, who had more problems than you, and he says, it's just a light affliction. Now, if Paul had more problems than you, more severe problems than you, and yet it was just a light affliction for him, then how do you justify talking about how heavy your burden is, how tough everything is? I know some of you think I'm insensitive to you. I'm not insensitive. I know that people have problems. I know some of you have terrible, terrible, terrible things that have happened to you. But I'm saying that compared to what Jesus has made available to you, compared to the life that he has, his supply is so great that it makes your need look puny in comparison. And if you are talking about how heavy your burden is, your burden isn't any bigger than Paul's. It's the way you process it. It's because you aren't dead to yourself. It's because you are alive to yourself. It's because you wouldn't say with the Apostle Paul that, man, I just want Jesus to be glorified in my body, whether it's by life or by death. If you got to where loving God was more important than loving yourself, promoting Jesus is more important than promoting yourself, if you were dead to yourself and alive unto God, I guarantee you, Satan couldn't make anything stick on you. With the Apostle Paul, they would say, you quit preaching the gospel or we'll put you in jail. He'd say, fine. And he'd just go to worshiping God at midnight, and he'd see a revival and all the prisoners in the jailer get born again. And so they'd say, well, we're going to release you from jail then. And he'd say, fine. He'd go preach the gospel. And then they'd say, we're going to kill you. And he'd say, man, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I mean, he'd just reach up and, you know, in a sense, give them a hug, give them a kiss on the forehead. Man, this is great. Man, I can see Jesus before the night is up. How do you intimidate a person like that? How do you intimidate a person who is so into God that the Lord is more important than they are? You can't. And I'm telling you, this is all Satan's got on us. He doesn't have the right to do anything to you. It's through fear and intimidation, threats, that he cows us and does this. If you found your life in God so that you just didn't care what other people had to say, you didn't care if they were going to kill you, it just doesn't matter. I know some of you are thinking, man, this isn't reality. You can't live this way. You know, I'm not projecting that I do everything perfectly. I haven't arrived, but I'm saying I've left. I'm seeing this work in my life. You know, back when I was in Vietnam, there was a situation where I was a chaplain's assistant, and I went out with the chaplain, and we spent about 3 hours out on this, what they call forward fire support base. It was out on top of this hill. It was overlooking the Ho Chi Minh Trail. It was a way, way out in the middle of nowhere. It was dangerous. And the hill was under terrible attack. It was a small area. It wasn't much bigger than this television studio that I'm in, maybe twice the size of this television studio. And they had a few little of these, corrugated steel circular type of things that they had made bunkers out of. And there was about 100 men on top of this hill. And I went out with the chaplain. And in a sense, this was a Protestant chaplain, but it was similar to giving last rites to these guys. Unless something happened, these people were going to be all killed. And so the chaplain went out. We held a service. I was with the chaplain. We were there for 3 or 4 hours. And in that brief period of time that I was on this hill, I forget the exact number, but I think it was 170-something mortars landed inside of our perimeter. We were under such heavy fire that you could see the muzzle fire from the enemy as they were coming up the hill. And it looked like we were going to be overrun. And sure enough, right, the chaplain and I were evacuated because the chaplain was a captain. And they evacuated him, and I went with him. And within an hour or two after us leaving, that hill was overrun, and nearly every U.S. soldier on that hill was killed. And anyway, my point is that it was a bad situation. And I remember what I was thinking. I had my M16 pointed down the hill. I never fired it because they were far enough away that it wouldn't have been, you know, it would have been a mistake if I'd have hit anybody. They weren't close enough. But I was having to seriously consider that hill being overrun and us being killed. And you know what I was thinking? I was exactly like Paul said. I thought, man, this is awesome. I could be in heaven by tonight. I actually got excited. I actually was just praising God and thinking, God, this is wonderful. But then I got to thinking about the Vietnamese coming against us. I said, even though I know where I'm going, what about these people? As I had my gun pointed at them, and I would have shot if they had gotten close enough. I'd have defended myself. I'd have done what I was supposed to do. But I was praying for the enemy that God would somehow or another reveal himself to them. I was praying for the guys on the hill, and I just had joy and peace facing death. And I know some of you think I'm weird, but I think you're weird. This is what's available to you through Christ. You can get to a place to where you love God more than you love yourself. You love other people more than you love yourself. You can die to yourself. And until you do so, you aren't going to be able to experience the joy that the Apostle Paul had so that he could rejoice at midnight with his feet and hands in the stock, facing death. You can't do that as long as it's all about you. I'm telling you, you've got to come to the end of yourself. The end of yourself is the beginning of God. And I'm telling you, this is a plague that is in epidemic proportion in our world today. You don't hear many people talking against self-love, self-promotion, putting self ahead of everybody else. This is as rare as hen's teeth. And this is one reason that people today are so depressed and so discouraged. Did you know we have every reason to be encouraged and to be happy? We've got conveniences that make our life so much easier than our forefathers. I mean, not very long ago, people struggled to even survive and to get by. And they didn't have this social net that would pay them for doing nothing. I mean, they had to work and it was an effort just to survive and to get by. Now we have so many conveniences. We can cook a meal in minutes, whereas it used to take hours. We can go, I drive, I think it's 42 miles from my house to come into this office. Did you know back in the horse and buggy days, that was a two-day trip. I can cover distances. I can do things that couldn't have been done. We've got all of these conveniences that should make life so much better. And yet the average person watching this program is not near as happy as your forefathers who had much less, who had more problems. It was so much more effort to survive and to get by than what it is for you. And yet they were happier than you are. I'm telling you, a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Happiness is a state of mind. It's not a state of being. And one of the things that has made happiness seem so elusive and so far removed from the average person today is because we have promoted self as no generation has ever done before. I remember when Muhammad Ali came out and said, "I am the greatest." Man, that was offensive to people. People didn't go around promoting that they're the greatest. It was an anomaly. It was awkward. It was off the charts. And I guarantee you, people were very offended by that. And nowadays, if you're an athlete or something, you have to proclaim that you're the greatest, that you're better. You put everybody else down, you exalt yourself. It's become the fad. It's become the normal. We are now so focused on self, and we are more miserable and less satisfied and less happy with all of the entertainment, with all of the advantages, with all of the prosperity. And I'm telling you, this is one of the main reasons right here is because people don't exalt Christ more than they exalt themselves. It's all about us. It's just selfish. You know, if you had a corpse here in front of me, I could spit on the corpse. I could curse the corpse. I could insult the corpse. I could ignore the corpse. And if it's a corpse, it won't respond. You know why you respond to every little thing that comes out against you? I mean the slightest little thing. People just roll their eyes. People just, cut you off in traffic and don't use their blinker, and that could just ruin your day. You know why the slightest little thing ticks you off? It's because you aren't a corpse. If you were dead to yourself, if it wasn't about you, then you'd find out that things wouldn't aggravate you. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 says, "Only by pride comes contention." It says only. It didn't say it's one of the leading causes. For certain types of people, this is what makes you have contention. No, it says only by pride comes contention. And pride here isn't just talking about arrogance, thinking you're better than everybody else. It's just talking about self-centeredness. It's just talking about being focused on yourself. I've got an entire teaching on that. Matter of fact, this little book right here, Self-Centeredness, the Source of All Grief, this is one of the most powerful things I've ever taught. And this would go into a lot more detail and really explain this. We'll offer this as a gift today. It's just a small little booklet. It's 60 pages long. And we'll give this as a bonus to you today. It would explain this in more detail. But Proverbs 13:10 says, "Only by pride comes contention." The only thing that makes you angry, that causes contention, strife, discord, is your self-centeredness. If you weren't focused on yourself, you wouldn't take everything and you wouldn't be so offended by it. When you fall in love with God and you love God more than you love yourself, it just diffuses anger in your life. It takes strife out of your life. I've had people do things to me that I guarantee. I've had people spit in my face, spit wads of chewing tobacco on me, and I didn't get mad. My flesh, I got to admit, I felt like punching their lights out. But because of my love for God and my love for the kingdom and wanting to preach the gospel and see a life change, there's things more important than me. And because of that, I never missed a word in the sentence. I just wiped it off, kept talking to these people. kept blessing them? You can do that. I know some of you think you can't do that. That's because you are so alive to yourself. But when you find out how much God loves you, you can't do this in just yourself. Let me just say that what I'm telling you right here is humanly impossible. Without factoring God and the power of the Holy Spirit into your life, you can't turn the other cheek. You can't bless other people. You can't think more about the kingdom of God than yourself. You can't come to this attitude that Paul was talking about, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But with Christ, with the new born-again spirit, you have received the love of God, the supernatural love of God. You can love God and other people more than yourself. And once you know how much God loves you and you find your total satisfaction and contentment in Jesus, you get to a place to where even though you don't like other people to be mad at you, it doesn't bother you because you aren't dependent upon other people's approval. The reason most people are so influenced by rejection and fear and intimidation is because they're codependent upon people. They are more dependent upon people than they are God. But if you ever find out how much God loves you, if you ever find your life in Jesus and get to where He is everything to you, it'll get to where who are you compared to Jesus? I had a man come up one time and just ream me out and start listing all of the things about me that he didn't like. And he just was criticizing me. And I just stopped him right in the middle. And I said, "Who died and made you God?" And he just looked at me like, "Well, what are you saying?" And I said, "You know what? Who are you? I don't know you." I said, "God Almighty loves me. I'm not perfect, but God loves me and He's accepted me. So what do I care what you have to say? You're a nobody compared to God." And this guy got really offended. "Wow, well, you shouldn't feel that way." And I said, "That's the way I feel." I said, "You're nobody. Your opinion doesn't matter to me." And I just turned around and walked off, left him talking to himself. You can get to a place to where if you find your satisfaction and contentment in God, it doesn't matter what other people say. It's just like Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride comes contention. The only reason you're so hurt and offended by what everybody has to say about you is because you are so alive to yourself, because you are so important. If you get to a place to where you aren't the center of the universe, you aren't the most important thing in the world, but you love God and you love other people more than you love yourself, you'll find out it'll cause joy and peace in your life. And if people criticize you and if things go wrong, it's not that big of a deal. You are not the center of the universe. You are not the most important thing on this planet. If dying would promote the cause of Christ, I'd be glad to do it. If going to jail would help me preach the gospel, I'd be glad to do it. I'm not saying I might not have some flesh feelings, but I would subject them and I would put God first and I would choose to promote God. You ought to get this little book on self-centeredness, the source of all grief. I guarantee you it would transform your life. So this is an additional offer today only as a free gift. If you will listen to our announcer, he will mention this free book. Also, he'll mention this new teaching that I have on Paul's secrets to happiness. And I promise you, these are life-changing truths. This would make a difference in your life. So listen to our announcer. Please call or write today. And then join me again next week as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's teaching titled Paul's Secrets to Happiness is available on either CD or DVD as seen on TV. Or if you prefer, you can get the live DVD that was recorded at a Gospel Truth seminar. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The first audio teaching in today's series is titled Paul's Secrets to Happiness, Part 1. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. This is the last day we'll be offering this teaching, so be sure to respond today. On today's program, Andrew mentioned his book titled Self-Centeredness, the Source of All Grief. You can get a free copy of this booklet by going to our website at awmi.net and clicking on Today's TV Offer. This offer is limited to one free copy per household. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of September, he'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina, Johnson City, Tennessee, Colorado Springs, Colorado, and at the Sanctuary in Woodland Park, Colorado for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference. In October, he'll be in Walsall, England and in Kampala, Uganda. And in November, he'll be in Mesa, Arizona, and in San Antonio, Dallas, and Fort Worth, Texas. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
Thank you, friends and partners. Your investment in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College continues to make disciples worldwide. Meet Jessica Ketchum.
I have always wanted to do videos since probably about the seventh grade. The School of Media program at Charis Bible College really gave us the tools and the programs to equip us to be able to do what we have a passion for in media. So since I graduated from School of Media, I've shot a video in Germany, all over the US, and this January I'm moving to St. Petersburg, Russia for 6 months. I think it's very important that Christians get involved in the film industry. Our God is the author of creativity, and so we should be the ones who are having the most creative ideas and displaying them in the most excellent way.
Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College, changing lives and changing the world for 20 years.
I want to share with you that we're going to have a very special ministers conference this coming October. We're going to have Creflo Dollar with us, Dwayne Sheriff, Bob Yandian, Bob Nichols, and myself. In the past, I've only had three speakers, and I've had Bob Nichols and Bob Yandian along with myself for many years. But this year, we're moving up to our new facility in Woodland Park. It'll be the first ministers' conference up there. We're doing some very special things. We're exploring having meals up there together. But the main thing is we're going to have all of these new speakers. And I tell you, it's going to be a powerful, powerful time. We've got the dates on the screen, and I encourage you to come and be a part of this. You'll be blessed.